If not, our thought this morning would come from, we'll start in the 18th chapter of the book of Luke and the 35th verse. And this will be very familiar reading, and I'm sure the thought that will come from it, I don't know if you've ever heard it preached this way. I've never really heard of it, thought of this way, but this is the way that the Lord has given it to me. And I want you to also keep in mind today Zechariah 9 and 9. So if you want to find that spot in your Bible, Zechariah is in the Old Testament. It's right before Micah, right before the Bible splits into the Old and New Testaments. But I would like for you to keep that verse in mind as we read today and as we go throughout this message. That's not our lesson text, but that is a very relevant verse to what the Lord has laid upon our hearts. Luke 18, 35th verse. And it says, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, and he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." And we'll go into the 19th chapter. And it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore unto him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And our thought this morning, if we would put a title on it, would be, The King is Coming. And as we read in the 35th verse, and it talked about a blind man that sat by the wayside begging, I thought about as Jesus was coming into Jericho, and I can just imagine all of the fanfare that had to have taken place before he got there. And I was trying to put this in terms that we might understand today, but the big city of Nashville, from time to time, the President of the United States, he'll pass this way, or he'll come and make a speech, and it locks down the city for days, and people begin to back up traffic, and people can't go down certain roads, but everybody wants to see the President. We have people that we hold in high regard today. We have celebrities that we all want to see. We all want to just be in their presence. And I can just imagine this day as he went into Jericho, I can just imagine the people that wanted to see Jesus. And can you just imagine the blind man that sat by the wayside begging, and he just wanted to see the Lord. He knew the King was coming. He had heard about this man from Nazareth. He knew that he was coming that day. And he wanted to see him. He began to cry out. And if you can just imagine President Obama coming to Mount Calvary today, would he even grace us with his presence? Would we be worthy for the President of the United States to come and visit with us? Well, as I began to think about this, I thought about what people were saying to the blind Bartimaeus sitting by the wayside. Just hush. You don't want anything to do with you. This great man has no need of a blind man. You just sit up there and be quiet. Can you just imagine he'd been blind from birth? He wanted to see the King that was coming. He'd heard, oh, I can just imagine the days before in Jericho. Did you hear that Jesus of Nazareth was going to be coming by here in a few days? Did you know that Jesus was going to come by? Everybody wanted to see him. It talks about the multitude that was around him. I can just see in my mind's eye people being all around Jesus. People had heard all of the good things that he had done. And boy, they wanted to see that. They wanted to witness these miracles that were taking place. They wanted to be a part of that. They wanted to see the king that was coming. And I thought about what Jesus done. And I thought about Bartimaeus crying out and him asking the Lord. I can just hear Bartimaeus crying out and saying, Lord, would you have mercy on me? Lord, would you hear somebody like me? Would you pay attention to somebody like me? I need your help today. And then Jesus looking at him and the multitude telling him to be quiet. They want nothing to do with you. And then Jesus looking at him and saying, what do you need? What do you need today? What can I help you with? What can I do for you? Can you just imagine what people must have been saying? He's talking to that blind man. He's paying attention to somebody who doesn't need you. You're the king. You're Jesus Christ. Pay attention to us. I can almost guarantee you this morning, if the President of the United States came to Nashville, he wouldn't give Mount Calvary a second thought and how sad that is, because I believe the man needs salvation. We have a lot of great officials in this world. There are some people, and people don't like politics, but I like to study politics. I like to read the articles, but I like to get everybody's view. And there are some politicians that really do want to see the betterment of our country. I do believe that. There are a lot that are corrupt. But there's a lot of high officials in this world that wouldn't give me the time of day. They wouldn't give me a second chance, a second look. They would pass by me and say, look at him. Just pass on by. But I thought about this blind man and how Jesus, the king of this world, looked at him. And he saw that he needed something. He saw that there was something inside of him. His needs, his physical needs weren't met. But I believe he got more than sight that day. I believe the Lord healed his sight and saved his soul. Because what does it say that he done? It says, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now that's one man. I thought about Zacchaeus. And I never really had this thought come to me in this way. But you think about who Zacchaeus was. He was a rich publican. Had all of the money he could probably want. He would go around taking people's money. A tax collector would try to beat you out of more than what you really had to pay so he could pad his wallet just a little bit. So he could make himself just a little more wealthy. Why did he want to see the king? Why did he want to see Jesus? But he'd heard. He'd heard about this man from Nazareth that would be passing by Jericho. Isn't it just human nature when somebody big is coming to town that we'd like to see them? We'd like to see what they're really all about. We'd like to know just exactly what they've got. And you know, most of the time when you see these people, you're let down. Most of the time when you see these people, the celebrities, that they'll come on TV and their makeup will just be as pretty as they can make it. Boy, the TV just makes them look really good. But when you see them in person, they're not near as what you think they are. The singing that they do at these concerts. Boy, they'll get in there and you'll hear a CD and you'll think, that's the best singer I've ever heard in my life. And you'll go and hear them at a concert and it sounds like cats are being put in a bag and beat against the wall. Not something anybody wants to listen to. But people will pay good money to go listen to these people. Today, as we sit here today, this is free. Everything that we're doing today is free. And I want you to think about that this day. And I wish it would just come out the way that the Lord has given it to me. But I just want you to think about the press. The multitude that was around Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus couldn't even get to him because he was a little man. If you look at me today, you see that I'm kind of a short person. So no doubt I couldn't have even gotten to the place where I could have saw the Lord. I couldn't have even been up there where I would have been able to see him. But I want you to think about the kind of shape that Zacchaeus got in to see the king. Zacchaeus went around and he found that old tree, and I believe he wanted to see him bad enough that he climbed up in it. And I want you to imagine the king of the world walking by this tree and seeing some little old man hanging out of it. He saw Zacchaeus, and I believe he knew who Zacchaeus was because he called him by name. There was no way he should have known Zacchaeus' name. But he said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for today I'm going to your house." And then what did people begin to do? They knew who Zacchaeus was. They knew exactly the kind of things that he had pulled on them, and they didn't like him. And what did they say? That he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. The king came through Jericho, and he went to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Well, I want you to know and understand something this morning, that the king is coming. The king is coming. And I want you to know and understand this morning, lost or saved, if you're here today and you don't have what I have in my heart, I want you to know that the King is here today. The King is here ready to save those that are lost. It tells us that for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now I want you to know and understand of the kings and the queens of this world. They have a lot of money and a lot of esteem by this world's standards. Boy, Queen Elizabeth, she sits over in England and she's just as a figurehead now. They don't even have a monarchy, but they still keep around just to have a figurehead. But you think about the big palace that she lives in. And I want you to think about the king of the world. Queen Elizabeth has that big old palace, or whatever her name is. I believe it's Elizabeth. But she'll sit over there in that palace, and boy, she has a great place to live in. My little old house don't look like nothing compared to hers. And I want you to think about the king of the world. It said, "Foxes have dens, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." The king of this world came into this world as a man that had nothing. He was born in a manger. He was born in the lowest possibilities, the lowest of this world's standards that there ever have been. He was born in a stable. But the king of this world, people began to look around. They wanted some great king to come and be their savior. They wanted one that had the regal robes, that they could walk down the streets of this world and they would say, "Look at our king. Look how good he looks today. Look at that big, nice crown that he wears." That's the kind of king this world wants. But the king of this world died on a cross for us. And I'm so thankful that he did. But I was thinking about this. And I was thinking about the night that the Lord saved my soul. And now I knew the king was coming. I was going to a revival service. And I knew before I got there that the Spirit of God was going to be there. I knew that the Spirit would meet me there and it would reprove me of my sins. I knew exactly where I was going if I didn't get saved, and that was the devil's hell. I knew exactly where I was going. But I was just like blind Bartimaeus. And if you're here this morning and you've been saved by the grace of God, I want you to go back to when you met the King. People say, "Well, this might be a message to the lost people." Well, maybe it is. But I want you, as saved people, I want you to go back to the day that God saved your soul. Because I believe that we as Missionary Baptists, we teach that salvation is a time and a place where you and God work it out, not you and mankind. You have a time and a place where you met the King. Oh, I can take you back to today. I can take you right there where the Lord saved my soul. It's pleasant to you. Many of you today, maybe your spot is long gone. Maybe the building's been torn out. Maybe you were saved on a boat. I've heard people being saved on an airplane. Boy, it'd be hard to track down that place. But I'm so glad that God has a record of that. I'm glad that God met me when I was blind and had no hope. And I was just like Zacchaeus. Boy, I was just as a sinner as I could be. Boy, I had the weight of the world upon my shoulders. And I knew it. But I wanted to meet the King of this world. I wanted to meet Him more than anything in this world. And if you'll ever be saved, if you have been saved, you got in that condition too. I thought about this as well. If Jesus Christ were to come back in His flesh today and not come to gather the world home, this is just completely a Taylorism. Can you imagine if God sent word and He said, "Even us as saved people, I'm going to your house"? Well, when people come to my house, I like to make sure But everything I've got is in tip-top shape. I like to make sure everything's picked up nice, clean. I like to make sure they see the best that I've got. Boy, when they walk in the house, I want them to say, boy, this is a nice place. Boy, this looks real good. If today the Lord were to come back and he were to go to your house, what kind of condition would he find you in? What kind of condition would he find your soul in? You may have been saved for years and years and years. Oh, but I believe we can get like David and have to ask the Lord to restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Boy, sometimes we lose the joy of our salvation. I believe people in this world, and Brother Jeanette talked about it this morning in Sunday school and done a wonderful job. There are people that teach that you can lose your salvation. Oh, bless their hearts. Bless their hearts. When God does something, he does it for all eternity. The Bible tells us that he seals us unto the day of redemption. The book of Ephesians tells us. But what kind of condition would he find you in today? Here today and lost, I want you to think about what kind of condition he'd find you in and where exactly you go if today he drew your number. If today he said, time's up, I'm coming to get you, where would you find yourself? I want to read over in Luke 19. We're just going to skip over a few verses. And I told you to keep a hold of Zechariah 9 and 9. And I want you to think about that. The 28th verse. And Jesus was fixing to enter Jerusalem. And I believe that he knew when he entered Jerusalem just exactly that he'd never leave again. I believe that he knew going in that what was going to happen to him. I believe he knew what was going to take place. But people at this point still like to hear what he was going on. They still were very happy to know and see the things that he was doing. And the 28th verse says, and when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, and in that which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto him. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt. And I just want you to put this in your mind. I just want you to think about this triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And it says, and they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Well, they'd seen some of the things that had been taking place, and they just really wanted to glorify in that. They wanted to see that they were thankful and that they'd been able to witness some of these things. 38th verse saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto them, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near and beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known even now, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and the children within thee, and they shall not leave on thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Now we know that the Lord entered here Jerusalem, and he told him, he said, go get the colt, and it's one that no man has ever sat upon. And the way that Israel's kings would enter their cities, they would ride in on a colt. They would ride in their majestic way, and people would look at them, and they would be praising the king for the things that he'd done. And I believe this is a very good representation of the king, because they weren't praising the natural king, the physical king of this world. They were praising the king of this world. Now we know that Jesus Christ would soon be crucified by the hands of the evil Roman men, but we know here that Jesus allowed them one time to allow him to enter in a glorious way. A lot of the times when Jesus would enter somewhere, he'd go by night so nobody would know. So that nobody could know that Jesus Christ was coming into town, because what would happen was you'd have these multitudes begin to fall. And a lot of times Jesus wouldn't even let anybody know, because he didn't want the fanfare around him. He didn't want the world to see the regal robes and all of those things that took place when the kings of this world came to town. But this time the king of the world was coming to town, and he wanted them to know. He wanted them to see that the king had arrived. Now he'd been telling them that he was the king of this world. He'd been letting them know all of this time that he was the king, the savior of this world. And here he came, riding in on a colt. I want you to think about the people that were casting their clothes off for him to ride the colt upon. They were wanting him to ride on the best that they had. And I thought about that today, and I thought about if the king was coming to Mount Calvary, if the king of this world was coming to Mount Calvary, what a glorious sight that would be. But then I began to think, the king meets with us all of the time. The king is always entering all of the time. He's always coming in and meeting with us. I'm so glad that I know the king of this world. I'm glad that someday, and I want you to think about this morning, and we'll get to Zechariah 9:9 here in a few moments. But I want you to think about that this morning. I want you to think about the royal blood that flows within us. Now, when I was born with O negative blood or O positive, O whatever. I have an O type blood, I know that. And that's physically what flows in my veins. Oh, but the day that the Lord saved my soul, I had royal blood that flows in my veins. I'm an heir to the kingdom of God. I'm an heir to those things. My brother, my Savior, is the king of this world. You think about that. I don't know very many people in this world that have big statuses. I know the mayor of Franklin because he was a substitute teacher at Franklin Simpson High School, and I went there and I would have him as a substitute from time to time. So I know him. I guess that's about the biggest official that I truly know. Oh, but I know the king of this world. And I don't know him just a little bit. I know him in a way that this world needs to know him. We'll read over in Zechariah, and I told you that I wanted you to keep this in your mind, and I do want you to think about this. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout. O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass. Zechariah was a prophet, and I believe he prophesied that the king was coming. All through the Old Testament, boy, they would tell, you know, you've got a king coming. You watch out, because there's a king coming. There's somebody coming to save this world. And this wasn't what they expected. It talks about the king of the world as lowly and riding in on a colt. How did Zechariah know that before it ever happened? Because I believe God gave him knowledge way beyond him riding in Jerusalem on that colt. I believe that there was foreknowledge that there was a king coming. People say that they had to get saved in a different way, that they had to be saved in a different account than I did, but I don't believe that. I believe they still had to have the same faith that I do for them to be saved. I believe they had to know and have faith that the king was coming to die, just like we have to have the faith that he did die for us. The king was coming. Oh, and can you imagine this day? As they saw, and I don't even know if they really realized just exactly the gravity of what was taking place in Jerusalem. And then it talks about him weeping for the city of Jerusalem. He knew what was going to take place there. He knew that his life was at stake. He knew that as the king of this world, that he would have to lay down his life for his kingdom. He would have to lay down his life for every person, man, boy, woman, girl, anybody that would ever live. He would have to lay down his life for them. And I want to ask you this morning, how many of you think that the kings and the monarchs of old would have laid down their life for their country. Not very many of them. I like history quite a bit, and I like to read about those monarchs and the things that they did, and how they squashed the life out of their countries. How they sometimes left them just smoldering, just places that were desolate. Oh, but this king was different. This king was way different than any of this world had ever seen. This king was coming to die for his people. He was bringing salvation. I think about the kings of old, and I think about the status that they had. And I think about the king of this world, not just of a country, not just of Spain or England. Or the United States has never had a king, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we live in a place where we're free. But you think about those kings. They wouldn't have died for me. They wouldn't have took a cruel cross, and if they had have died for me, they wouldn't have taken one so rough, so barbaric. They wouldn't have taken one like that. They would have just said, well, you can take my life, but do it in a good way. But nobody would do that for me. But the king was coming long before he would meet me at Pleasant Hill on an old bench. Long before any of us were ever even thought of. He was coming before the foundations of this world, and he knew that he had to do it. He knew he had to die. But he knew that he loved us. I believe that kings, as they take their places in their countries, I believe that they take their vows to serve and protect or do whatever they do to make the king of the kingdom the best that it can be. Oh, but this king was way different. Those kings didn't mean anything by what they were doing. But the king of this world took the cross of Calvary. Oh, it hurt him. I believe that it did. I believe that as he watched those people nail those nails into his hands and in his feet, and his side was ripped and torn, I believe it hurt him. Oh, but that's the king that we serve. That's the king that we have. It's not a king in this world. He doesn't have a seal of approval that he stamps down on a piece of paper. He seals our hearts with his love and his kindness and his grace. That's the king that we have. I was thinking about the other day, and I will close here in just a moment, but I was thinking about this earlier this week. The royal baby was being born, and boy, that was just all that was on the news. I was sick and tired of hearing about it. That baby will never want for anything in this world. He will be showered, she will be showered, whatever, he or she, I think it's a she. It will just be showered with things of this world. They'll have the best that money can buy. They'll have just the most important things. They'll grow up, and their first car might be a Mercedes or a Rolls Royce or something like that. Well, they'll just have the best that they can have. They'll just have everything that they ever wanted. But that poor baby, those poor kings of this life, they lived a natural life, and they needed salvation. That poor baby, if it never gets saved, will have the best in this life. But oh, what a sad day is coming for her when she lays down the walk of this life. She doesn't know the true king. And if you don't know the true king this morning, if you don't know him the way that I know him, I've seen Barack Obama on the television. I really don't care to know him in person, but that's neither here nor yonder. But I've seen him. I know who he is. I know his name. I know his face. I know his voice. But I know the king of this world. I know his voice. More than anybody, more than other people in this world. I know his name. I've never seen his face, but oh, how I feel him touch me from time to time. I know the king of this world. Brothers and sisters, lost people, I want you to know and understand that the king is coming again. But this time he's not coming to die on a cross. He's not coming to be placed on a cross in front of this world and be beat and mocked. And he's not coming to do any of those things anymore. He's not coming to do those miracles. Oh, but the next time that he comes, he's coming to gather his children. He's coming to gather his church. And those that are lost will be cast into a lake of fire. He's a jealous king. And he wants you to love him today. I want to have a song, and Brother Colin would, and I'd like to give an invitation. If you're here today and lost, if you're today and saved, and you want to come pray, this altar is always open here at Mount Calvary. People to come and pray. But if you're here today and lost, I want you to know and understand that you'll have to give everything to the Lord. You'll have to give up everything that you've got
for this king. You'll have to be willing to do whatever it takes to get saved. That's our message today. The king is coming. Those people saw that king coming. I've never got to see him. Oh, but I felt it when he passed by and drew me to an altar of prayer one night. The king is coming, and he's coming again. May God bless you, is our prayer book.